Masechet Pesachim has been dedicated by Mr. Ike J. Shehebar in honor of his grandparents, Mr. Ike and Jeanette Beebe. We bless Mr. Ike Shehebar, who's been a sponsor of the Daf Yomi for many days. They should continue to enjoy success, health, and happiness. May his grandparents also enjoy much nachat from him as well as all their grandchildren, and may they only share in simachot for the entire family. Amen. Daf Zayin. Today's daf has been dedicated by Mr. Nassim and Elias Bassan in honor of their dear mother Sarah Bat Malka. Ruach Hashem Tanichena Began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied L'Rfu'ah Shelema Ben Yitzhak Kaduri Ben Tufeha Enna Refana Lo Betok Shear Chulei Amo Yisrael. Amen. Today's daf is being studied L'Aylu Nishmat Acham Baruch Rafael Ben Miriam and Avraham Ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanichem Began Eden. Amen. We are beginning on daf Vav Amud Bet. Let us just review for a moment outside where we're holding, and then we will continue. The Gemara told us yesterday that in the name of Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, Habodek Sarich Shiyebatel, that a person that is involved in the Bidikah, after he makes the Bidikah, he should make or must make Bitul Hametz. Bitul is a declaration where he declares all the Hametz that he has in his possession to be Hefker. So the Gemara said ownerless. So the Gemara says, what's the purpose of this bitul? If you're concerned about pirurim, which means little pieces that are less than a kezayit, so those are ownerless on their own, which means a person doesn't give them any value. Even if he locks the door, now these pirurim are being considered protected along with his other assets, doesn't make it chashuv. So the Gemara concludes and says, no, the reason why you have to make bitul is because of the gluska yafa. You might find a gluska yafa, a roll or a bun that is nice, and the Gemara says v'data alave, and his mind might be on it. One question might be asked is, if he made bidika, what's going on here now that he's finding a gluska yafa? What type of bidika was that? So obviously we're talking about a case where he wasn't negligent, where he did a legitimate bidika. Either the gluskaya fa surfaced from a place that did not require bidikat hametz, like we learned in the first Mishnah, kol makom shemachnisim bo hametz tzricha bidika. This came in a place where really wasn't an area that hametz is normally placed, that he was exempt from checking, and all of a sudden happened to be there was a gluskaya fa. Or as some of the Ahronim learn, the case is talking about where no, he indeed knew that there was a gluskaya fa, but what did he do? Erev Pesach, he wanted to eat it, so he put it on the side, and then he forgot that he had left it on the side. All of a sudden, it showed up on Pesach, it surfaced. In any event, we just want to make a case so he's not considered a posheya, so he's not considered negligent. So until that point, as we learned earlier, he has a hazakah, that is bidikah, is a legitimate bidikah, and he's not over al bali raim bali matzeh, which means even if there's hametz in the house, since he made a bidikah achi adol magat, as far as he can go, so the bidikah is considered legitimate. And the hazakah is that he is haskat baduk and he's okay. When the gluskaya fa surfaces, that she says the problem is not that it surfaces, because even when it surfaces right away, you can just get rid of it. You're not hayav at that point when you find it. But the concern is da'atai laveh, that for a moment, since it's the natural tendency of a person, that when he sees things that are of value, he doesn't want to waste things. So therefore, he might for a moment hesitate in his burning and getting rid of it. Now again, the Mefarshim point out, not necessarily that he doesn't want to keep it for himself, but the point is he might hesitate to go ask a rabbi a question, what can I do with it? Can I feed it to an animal of Hifkir? Can I, can I use it for other things? So that slight hesitation of analyzing, which means something besides burning and getting rid of it, that will he'll transgress at that point. That's considered already yovir. Bingo. For that moment, that slight hesitation. Now again, if he was hesitating in order to get wood to make a fire to burn, that's not considered because the intention is that he wants to just burn it. Point is, if you slightly hesitate for any other reason besides bi'ur, it's already going to be over by Yimatzeh, according to Rashi. Oh, so the Gemara says, if that's the case, that you're worried about Yimatzeh, the Gemara asked the question for Gluska Yafa. The Gemara had a question. The Gemara said, V'chi mashkachat ne'libtele. The Gemara said, what do you mean? When the guy finds it, let him make bitul. Why make the guy make bitul earlier? Let him make bitul on the holiday, let's say. Now he finds the Gluska Yafa, make bitul right away. The question is predicated on the fact that the fellow over here, when he finds it, is not Oved Bayre Bayre Matzeh right away. So long as he doesn't hesitate. Therefore, the Gemara is asking, well, the second he finds it, he can make Bitul on the spot. So the Gemara says, well, you can't make Bitul on the spot. Because we have a rule that once Hametz becomes Isur, meaning after the sixth hour on Erev Pesach, it's Asur B'Hana'ah. We know that. Once it's Asur B'Hana'ah, for halachic purposes, it's not yours. Because what makes something yours? Usage. Once you can't use something, once the Torah is telling you this item's off limits, so technically, it becomes not yours. And therefore, you cannot make bitul on something that you don't own. So therefore you have no options but to make the bitul on Erev Pesach when the Hametz is still in your domain. Now of course you're going to ask, what do you mean? If after the sixth hour the Hametz is not his, so then a person should be able to leave Hametz in his house. Because once the sixth hour comes, the Hametz automatically leaves his domain. But the Gemara says that it's a it's split. Yes, it's out of your domain that you can't make bitul on it. But it's in your domain as much that what? You could be Oved on it. Like we said in the Gemara yesterday, two things God put back into a person's reshut to make him hayav. Bor b'reshut ha-rabim and hametz m'sheshaot. So that's basically the Gemara's opinion till now. The reason why you're making bitul erev Pesach is in order that what? Which means more than erev Pesach. You're making it right after the bedikah at the night, right? When you're making the bedikah, in order that you don't find the Gluska Yafa. So even when you find the Gluska Yafa, your bitul already is hal. Again, we're not concerned that he might undo his bitul. We're not worried about a grasha over here that might come along and say, oh, you know what, now I changed my mind, I want to own it. Again, we're not talking about the Shaim. At worst, what the guy's going to do is delay for a minute. And even if he delays for a minute, it doesn't matter because it's not his. It's hefker already. So therefore the bitul will solve that potential problem of delaying for a minute, because it's not his anyway, so he can delay even for a few moments. That's not going to make a difference. So now the Gemara continues. Gemara has two lines from the bottom. Gemara says, V'niftele be'arba, v'niftele be'hamesh. Good. You want to make bitul at a time you own it? Make bitul in the fourth hour on Erev Pesach. Make bitul in the fifth hour on Erev Pesach. Why do you need to make the bitul the night before at the time of the bedikah? So the Gemara says, Kevan delav zeman isurahu, velav zeman bi'urahu, dilma pasha velo mevatele. Which means, since in the fourth hour on Erev Pesach, on the fifth hour, well, it's really not a time of bi'ur hametz. Bi'ur Hametz really doesn't kick in until the sixth hour. According to the Hakamim, you have to burn in the sixth hour. So technically in the fourth and the fifth hour, there's nothing that's going to remind the guy to make the bitul. The night before, he just made bidika. So he's involved in the process of getting rid of Hametz. So there's an alarm. He knows already he's doing something to get rid of Hametz. So he can make his kal hamira, he can make his declaration. If you're going to just say, I do it in the morning, there's no reminder necessarily in the fourth hour and the fifth hour to make bitul. So the gezerah is dilma pasha. We're worried that he might be negligent, meaning, and forget, and therefore he's not going to be able to, he's going to lose out on the opportunity. So the Gemara says, v'niftele b'shit. So the Gemara says like this. According to the Hakamim, you burn the Hametz the whole sixth hour. example, 11 to 12. That's your time to burn the hametz. Midrabanan. Midoraita, you really have until 12. You have until the end of the sixth hour. But Achamim preempted it 1 hour. So the Gemara says, very good. In the sixth hour, rabbinically, you have to burn it, but seemingly, you still own it. It's still yours until the end of that hour. So therefore, we should let him, at the time of the burning, so you can't tell me he's not on his mind, because he's burning the hametz at 11 o'clock at the sixth hour. So his mind is on getting rid of the hametz. Let him make the bitul at that point. And he still owns it, so therefore it's his hametz to make the bitul. To that the Gemara says, V'niftele b'shit, question mark after the word b'shit. Answer, Kevan de'isura d'rabbanan alave, k'deoraita damya, v'la b'rshute kaima, v'lo matzeh maftil. So the Gemara says a chiddush. When the rabbis forbade hametz in the sixth hour, they were osed it like the Torah was osed it, meaning with the same guidelines. What's the guidelines of the Torah? Once hametz becomes asur, it's not yours. And therefore, in the sixth hour at 11 o'clock, midrabanan, the hametz is not going to be considered yours. And therefore, bitul is not going to work at 11 o'clock. And therefore, what's the concern? Since it's not yours, okay, you might for a moment hesitate and say, oh, you know, I want to do something with this hametz. What are my options? Since bitul was not made, you're going to be considered acquiring it, and therefore you're going to be over on balirem balimatzeh. So therefore, doing it at 11 o'clock in the sixth hour also was not considered an option. So comes the Gemara and says, how do we know this? That the hametz in the sixth hour, which is asumed rabbanan, is also not considered in your reshut. Gemara says, the Amar Rav Gidal, Amar Rav Chiya Bar Yosef, Amar Rav, HaMekadesh Mishesh Sha'ot Ulma'ala. A person goes to a lady in the sixth hour, according to Rashi, in the beginning of the sixth hour, Hametz is Asur Midrabbanan, and he goes and he makes Kiddushin. Now he's going to go now, get married to a girl. What does he use for the Kiddushin? Of course, you need a Shaveh Peruta. You need a certain value. He says, Afilu Behite Kurdanita. He uses even an item called the wheat of Kurdanita, that she says that's the wheat that comes from Har Ararat, from the mountain in Turkey. Well, over there they have certain wheat, he says, that are very, very hard. And we're talking about where some water fell on the wheat, and therefore it has the ability to become hametz. So the Gemara says, En hosheshim nekedushim. We're not going to be suspicious to this kedushim, meaning it's not a kedushim. Why is it not a kedushim? Rashi, Afilu b'chaytei kordanita, Hatzom chayim b'harei ararat, Kashine me'od, Afilu achen, even so, the point is when they're hard, they become, takes longer time for them to become hametz. So he says, even so, En hosheshim l'kiddushin, Imbau alehem mayim. Once water falls on these chaytim over here, you have to suspect that they indeed become hametz. V'afalgav de'ate isur hana'at hametz rabbanan deshesh, which means now, what's the logic? Because bottom line, in the sixth hour, it's not yours. And therefore you're baking kiddushin with something that is isur hana'at. You don't own it. Obviously, to make kiddushin, you need to own the you have to own the piruta. The chiddush over here is, even though mideoraita, he does own it, which means the deoraita law doesn't kick in until 12 o'clock. So, which is an amazing thing, which means really, lechaura mideoraita, he should be married. Wow. And therefore, mideoraita, this lady should be an eshet ish. Wow. And still, the rabbis have the ability to what? To say, no, there is no kiddushin over here. Because we have a rule, kol mekadesh adat rabbanan mekadesh. Anybody that gets married according to the principles and the laws of the hachamim, and the rabbis have the ability to take somebody's money and make it ownerless. like the famous principle, Hefker Bedin Hefker, that therefore they came along and said, Chametz in the sixth hour, it's ownerless. You don't own it. Aye, what about from the Torah? Hakamim yesh lahem koach la'akor, and therefore that she comes along and says, V'hafalgav da'at isur hana'at chametz rabbanan, even though it's only isur chametz rabbanan meshesh u'mafka kedushe Torah, and it's overriding the isur of the Torah, v'share eshet ish la'alma, and now you're being matir and eshet ish, Hakamim is saying, she's not married. And she answers, "Hametarzinan bekamu duchtin kodem mekadesh adadad rabbanan mekadesh veevger betin efker vehemefkiru mamono." These are principles of the Hakamim. They can make their money hefker. They can make it ownerless, and therefore the kiddushin is not hal unless they want it to be hal. They say, "Listen, it's not hal. It's kedat Moshe v'Israel. It's not kedat Moshe over here." Hakamim do not agree. In any event. So you see why from this Gemara, the Chametz in B'Shesh Sha'ot is going to be Asur. Tosfot learns this case over here when it says, HaMekadesh M'Shesh Sha'ot. He says, no, it's talking about when you made the Kiddushin at 12 o'clock. M'Shesh Sha'ot is much at the end of the Shesh Sha'ot. So what's the question? That's the Oraita. He says, no, that's why the Gemara chose a case of these special type of hard kernels. Because these hard kernels, when the water falls on them, it's called Chametz Nukshet. Hametz Nukshe is only Isur, the Rabbanan. So according to Tosfot, it's in a time deoraita, but it's Hametz that's only Isur, the Rabbanan. And therefore, it's the same principle working. That even though the Hametz really isn't Isur min Torah, it's only a type of Hametz that's Isur, the Rabbanan, the rabbis came along and said, what? This is not in your possession as well. So it's either according to Rashi, Hametz in the sixth, in the rabbinical time, or Hametz in the Deoraita time, but the Hametz is only Isur, the Rabbanan. So therefore the same principle applies. In any event, the Gemara says, Ulbatar Isura lo matzem maftile? Okay, that's a question. Well, you tell me, after this man Isur, you can't make bitul? That was the Gemara's assumption. Once Yom Tov comes in, or once after Hametz, after the sixth hour, it's out of your reshut to make bitul. The Gemara says, is that so? That Tanya, we have a braita. Haya yoshev bebet ha-midrash. The guy was sitting in the yeshiva, the bet midrash. V'nizkar sheyesh hametz betoch beto. All of a sudden he remembers, he has hametz, he has a bowl of dough that's in his house that he was working on, and he got sidetracked and left it. Now he's in the bet midrash. Mevatelo belibo. So in the midrash he's able to make bitul. When? Ehad Shabbat ve'ehad Yom Tov. Whether it's Shabbat or on Yom Tov. Now the Gemara is going to explain which the scenario. Bishlama Shabbat. Mashka hatla kegon shechal arba'asar liyot b'Shabbat. Now we give an easy case. The Shabbat case is easy. The 14th, Erev Pesach fell out on Shabbat. So it's Shabbat morning before Sha'at Isur. Therefore, at 8 o'clock in the morning, the guy is in the yeshiva. He remembers, oh, I got a piece of dough in the house. Okay, mebatlo b'libo. No problem. He has hametz, no problem. So then the Gemara wants to say, Ela Yom Tov. What's the case of Yom Tov? Batar Isurahu. Yom Tov, it's after Sha'at Isur. It's Pesach already. What's Bitul over here? You remember he had hametz in his house, too late. It's not yours to make Bitul. How could the Gemara say that he can make Bitul? Amar Ravacha Bar Yaakov. And the Chabad Yaakov says, "Haka betalmid yoshev lefnei rabbo askina." We're talking about a student that's sitting in front of his rabbi, meaning he can't get up. It's not kabod for him to go home and physically deal with this issue over here because he's sitting in front of his rabbi. And what are we talking? V'nizkar sheyesh isa migulgelet mitoch beto. He doesn't have hametz in his house. He has dough that if he leaves it, it's going to become hametz. But at this point over here, it's not hametz. Now, the easiest option would have been, not easiest, but a viable option would have been, let him go home, put him in the oven. What you, on Yom Tov, for example. On Yom Tov, you have no problem. Yom Tov, you're allowed to bake. Let him run home, put the dough in the oven before 18 minutes, before it becomes hametz, and he's okay. Problem is, he's Tamid Yoshev Efnei Rabbo. He's in the middle of the shiur in front of his rabbi. It's not kavod for him to get up now and start to leave. So he has no option. What is he going to do? ומתיירש שמה תחמיץ. He's worried that the shiur is going to last more than 18 minutes. And what is he worried about? That the hametz is going to be, the dough is going to rise, going to become hametz. So kadim umbabatile. So he makes bitul on it before it becomes hametz, mekamet the tahmitz. Now, even though it's Yom Tov, you're not making bitul on hametz. You're making bitul on a piece of dough. That's no problem. The only thing you can't make bitul on once the holiday comes is what? Hametz, because hametz is not your bereshut, not in your possession. This is not hametz over here. This is a piece of dough. So yeah, but go home and put it in the oven. I can't go and put it in the oven. I'm sitting in front of the rabbi. All right, so what's your option? Make a betul. Mm. A betul on what? I'm making a betul on non-hametz dough. Could you do that on Yom Tov? Yeah. Certainly. Why not? So the Gemara says, you know what? It's meduyeket that that's the scenario. Diktani, because it says Haya Yoshev betoch bet hamidrash shma mina, because it says he was sitting in the bet hamidrash. Now, from the fact that it says he's sitting in the bet hamidrash, it's mashma. If he wasn't sitting in the bet hamidrash, he'd have another option. What would the other option be if he wasn't in the bet hamidrash? Put it in the oven. If you're not going to learn this case, if you're learning that it's regular chametz, what's the difference if he was in the Bet Midrash or he was home? It's the same option. The option is you can't do anything. You can't make bitul because it's Shat Isur. So therefore, from the fact that it's saying he was in the Bet Midrash, is mashma, since he's in the Bet Midrash, he cannot do something else. Or what would his other option be? Put it in the oven to save from becoming chametz. So the fact that the Braita chose that case, you see, we must be talking about non-chametz, and the concern is that it might become chametz. Comes the... Now again, on the Shabbat case, you don't have to get into any of this. The Shabbat case, you could say it's actually chametz, and it's on the 14th, before Shachat Isur, and there's no problem for him to make a legitimate bitul. Comes the Gemara now. New case. Amar Abba Bar Rav Huna Amar Rav. Hapat She'ipsha. You have a loaf. You don't know if it's hametz, or you don't know it's matzah. You don't know what it is. And it's ipsha. It became spoiled or moldy. So now you're in a dilemma. You want to know, what is this piece over here? Is it hametz or is it matzah? Now obviously we're talking about, it's on the holiday already. Kivan shiravta matzah muteret. So the Gemara says, how are you going to solve this dilemma? So at this point, we're assuming you're putting it in like a basket. In this bit of place where you store the bread. A bread basket or a matzah basket. So the Gemara says, well, since the majority of pieces on Pesach in this basket are matzah, so you could assume that this piece also over here is matzah, meaning you're relying on the principle of Rov. Rov says that the Rov items in here are matzah. As she's lashon is kasal kadatak im nishtamshu betevazu matzah yoter mehametz. If in this box you use more matzah than hametz, as linan batar ruba umuteret. Gemara says hechidame. What's the case exactly? If you know that it's hametz, this patch yabsha, kiravta matzah mayave. The Gemara is just going through the motions. Obvious. If you know it's hametz, so Rov is not going to do anything for you. Ela delo yadeinan ba ihametzu imatzahu. Oh, so the case must be talking about, you don't know. Hey, you have to remember, in the olden days as well as today, they used to make the matzah soft. So the matzah is very possible for to confuse it with a piece of bread, meaning it doesn't sound like they were making the matzah like the thin crisp matzah today. Very hard to imagine that you could not discern between that and a loaf of bread. But if you have the soft matzah, it's possible to make a mistake. Anyway, the Gemara says if you don't know what it is, my idiyakirabta matzah. Why you tell me that the only way you could say it's mutar? Is if you have rov matzah in the box, ki lo ravta matzah name. Even if you don't have rov matzah, nizil batar batra. Go according to batra, meaning the last thing you had in the box. which means if the last thing you had in the box over here was matzah, so you could assume this is from the last items in the box, which means even if you don't necessarily have rov hametz, I'm sorry, rov matzah, but there's a principle that what? Whatever was the last item there, if the last item in the box was matzah, you could assume that what? This is matzah. And the Gemara is going to give an example of how this principle is used. Milo tenan, didn't we learn in the Mishnah? Ma'ot shenimseu lifnei sochare behema. You go to Jerusalem, and you find money in front of the animal brokers. Those are the people that sell animals for korbanot, or they sell animals for purposes of kodesh. Okay? For example, people would have ma'aser money. Ma'aser sheni money, you have to take up to Jerusalem, and you have to spend it on money, and you have to eat it in Jerusalem. It would be very, with food. Now, it would be very common that people would go take their ma'asid money up on a holiday, let's say, when they're going up to Yerushalayim anyway, and they would spend as much money as they can, and they would eat that food in Yerushalayim during the holiday. What did they do with their leftover money? Not taking it back to Hotzlades or whatever, wherever they're going. So what they would do is they would give it out to the people that lived in Yerushalayim, and they would tell them, listen, this money over here is ma'asid money. No, you live in Jerusalem anyway. Go buy food with it, and they eat it. They would give out their money. That would be one way to unload all your excess ma'aser kesef. Now, since this was a common practice, the majority of animals that were sold in Yerushalayim were sold from kesef of ma'aser all year round. Not only on the holidays, all year round, because the dwellers of Jerusalem had this money from the pilgrims that came up on the holiday. So therefore, you could assume that the rov monies that are in this animal market are ma'aser monies. Now you come in the middle of the year, you find some money on the floor in the animal market. So you want to know, well, what is the money? Is the money kodesh? Is the money holim? Mm-hmm. So the Gemara says, from a Mishnah actually, ma'ot shenimseu lifnei sochare behema le'olam ma'aser. It is always considered ma'asir. Why? Because since rov is considered ma'asir, so yeah, all year round, so that we have to assume it's ma'asir. Now, granted, you don't know who dropped it. Because if it dropped by the person that's purchasing, it's still ma'asir. Once the animal seller, once he takes the money, so this now money is not kodesh anymore, the animal becomes kodesh. So that she says, well, that is 50-50. You don't know whose it is. And over here you have a safek deoraita, and the rule will be safek deoraita, the chumrah. So that's the first rule. You find money in the animal market all year round, Gemara says you have to assume it is ma'asir. Good, next case. Be'arabayit chulin. Well, if you go to the Temple Mount all year round again, and you find the money over there, your assumption is what? It is going to be chulin. That she tells us, actually, va'afilu b'sha'at ha'regel, even on the holiday. You don't have to be concerned on how to buy it. Why? That she yesh ma'ot ma'asir merubi b'Yerushalayim, and there's a lot of money of ma'asir floating around your Jerusalem on the holiday. Mema'ot chulin lo mesafkinan lehu, we go according to the majority of the year. And how to buy it, you assume that the money you found here, this is probably from before the holiday. And since the majority of the year, the majority of the monies that are found by how to buy it are what? Cholin money. So therefore, even though on the holiday itself, it's rov ma'asir money that's in the people's pockets, but you know what? You found it here, you could assume it's coming from the rest of the year, and therefore it is considered chulin, you could keep it, no problem. Birushalayim, bishat haregel, ma'asir. But in the streets of Jerusalem, bishat haregel, you have to assume it's what? Ma'asir. Bishar yimot hashana, chulin. But the rest of the year, chulin. Now we have to understand Why in Yerushalayim, in the streets of Jerusalem, you're telling me what? Well, you got to go after the Rav. What's the Rav? The Rav is Maasir money. Therefore, you have to assume it's Maasir. So on Harabai, it should be the same thing. When it comes to Harabai, it's on the holiday, you're telling me what? No, you can assume it's from before the holiday. So how come they're on the streets of Yerushalayim? Also assume that it's from before the holiday. We're making a difference between Yerushalayim b'shat ha-regel and Harabayit b'shat ha-regel. What should be the difference? So the Gemara says, "V'amar of Shemayah Barzera, my tama." What's the difference for this chiluk? Ho'il v'shukei Yerushalayim asuim lehitkabed b'chol yom. They used to clean the streets of Jerusalem every day. Yeah, that was the principle in Yerushalayim. There was the cleaning of the streets on a daily basis. It was alternate side parking every day in Yerushalayim. So the point is what? If you find money there today on the holiday, you assume it's from today. Because the money that was there from yesterday already, they cleaned up the streets. So therefore you have to assume the last thing that fell here is what? That's what it is. The last thing here is Maaser money. Very good. That shows you that you go batra. You go after the last item. You don't go from what is before. So in Harabayit, Rashi tells you they didn't clean it every day. For a few reasons. Number one, Harabayit wasn't that dirty because the halakha says really not allowed to go into Harabayit with shoes on. So there wasn't that much debris and that much dirt. And secondly, Harabayit was on a slope and therefore a lot of the debris would just blow away or slide down. So it wasn't necessary to clean it that often. Well, if they're not cleaning it that often, then already it's fair to assume that the money that was there could have been from before. And since it's from before, you have no problem. So that's the difference between Yerushalayim, B'shat HaRegel, and Harabayit, B'shat HaRegel. For our point, it's what? You learn the principle of Batra. Mm-hmm. Which means, even though in Yerushalayim, the majority of money is during the year is Holin. Right, majority is Holin, Rov Holin. But what? Since we have an assumption that what? Since you cleaned it out, because they clean up the streets of Jerusalem, so you go with the last item. The last item is what? The money that's on the regel. The regel of the money is what? Maasir. So say the same thing by the patch yamsha. You found this piece of bread over. You don't know what it is. Forget about Rov. Even if Rov is Chametz, that usually is placed in this box. But before the holiday, you cleaned out, no? You made the bidikat hametz. You cleaned out everything. You got rid of all the hametz, yes, including the hametz in the box. So therefore, you don't know what this is. What could you assume? It's coming out with that. Now it's Pesach. Pesach, the last item you put in the box is what? Matzah. So therefore, even if you don't have rov, you should assume that why you go according to what the last item in the box was. That's the Gemara's question. Alma. There's the question now. Alma, amrinan, kamae azlele. You say what? That the previous stuff is gone, right? They sweeped up all the holin money. V'hane aharin ininu. And these are new monies that you found, which means they're going to go ma'aser money. Hakanameh. Same thing by the pachyamsha. Nema kama azil. Say, all the other stuff, all the rov, hametz, it's gone during the year, it's gone, you got rid of it before Pesach. And now what? And now, this is the new stuff, this is matzah. So the Gemara says, there's a big difference over here. Shani hacha, de'epusha muchi alaveh. Hey, you have to remember, it's moldy. So the assumption is when you look at this piece of pot, it's old, and therefore you can't say what's now. I mean now. It's not like a coin. The coin doesn't get moldy. So a coin, you can assume it's from today. When you see the Pachi Absha, the assumption has to be what? It's from before Pesach. If it's from before Pesach, it's going to be Hamed. So the Gemara says, wait. So then the Gemara says, wait. If you have a push, if you have mold, and it's all spoiled, Ki davta matzah mayaveh. So what did you tell me if you have Rav Matzah? What is Rav Matzah going to do for you over here? Bottom line, if it's a push, therefore you have an issue with it. You have to assume that what? It's from before Pesach. If it's from before Pesach, So therefore, it's chametz. Once you see spoiled, Rav's not going to help you in such a case. What Rav Batzah? How did it become so spoiled over there? Must be it was from before the holiday. Before the holiday is what? It's chametz. So the Gemara says, Amar Abba. The Gemara answers, Lo tema shenavta matzah. You thought nafta matzah means we're discussing how you use the box? How much matzah to chametz ratio is in the box? Now that's not the Rav we're talking about over here. We're talking about there were many days of Pesach that had passed already. Rabu yeme matzah alave, and therefore, it's possible that this, for example, it's the fifth day of Pesach. Therefore, it's very possible that that chametz or that pot, I should say, was matzah, and it was there on the first day of the holiday, and 5 days passed, so you could assume that what? It is indeed matzah that's spoiled. Which means, if you could assume that this is a matzah that's spoiled, how? Because Rov Yemei Matzah passed, which means a lot of days of the holiday passed, we could say, you know what? This was really matzah from the beginning of the holiday. What's all this mold on it? After 4 or 5 days, it got moldy. So the Gemara says, Iyache Pshita. What's the question then? Of course it's matzah. What's the Gemara's discussion over here that you have to give me a hidush over here and tell me that you don't know what it is? Why should you know what it is? You know what it is. Pach, if you have many days of Pesach, what did you do before Pesach? You got rid of your hametz. There's no hametz anymore, yeah? So what do you have? You have matzah. It became mi'upash. It's matzah that became mi'upash. What's the hidush? Gemara says, Lo tzirikha de'epusha miruba. It's very moldy. It's not just regular moldy. It looks like very old. Now the tema kiva japusha meruba igla milta devaday hametz me'al yahu. Maybe I'll tell you off. It's very moldy. So this couldn't happen in 4 days. This probably is a piece that we've forgotten there. And then what this is from before all the name was hametz. Kamash ma'alan kevan sherabu yeme matzah ilave. We say no. Since probably there was enough days of Pesach for mold to take place even on matzah, we'll say the following. Amrinan. Every day the guy bakes fresh hot matzah. What do you do with the hot matzah? You throw it in the box. And that hot matzah is resting on the cool matzah that's in there already. And what happens when you put the hot on the cool? And it causes excessive mold. So therefore, because you put the mahar on it, so that the heat causes the mold to go faster. So therefore, that's Hadush of the Gemara. Even though it's very moldy, you don't have to assume that it's been before the holiday. You can't assume what? That it happened on the holiday. If you have Rov. Rov what? If you have Rov, days mean to assume that there was enough time for it to become Me'opash. Even if it's Rov Me'opash, it's still okay. Comes the Gemara and says, Umi azlinan batar batra? Gemara goes back to another question. Do you go after this batra? You just told me that what? In Jerusalem, on the holiday, you find money, you assume what? It's ma'asir money. Why? They clean the streets every day, this is batra now, it's the new stuff is there, and the new stuff is of ma'asir money. So the Gemara says, is that a principle? Do you go batar batra? Do you go after what it is? Now you have to go according to what the Rov is from before. Umiyazina batar batra. Gemara says like this. That tanya we have a braita. Rabbi Yosef bar Yehuda Omer, teva, a box. Shenishtamshu ba ma'ot cholin u'ma'ot ma'asir. The same box, sometimes you use it for cholin money. You have to put your regular funds in there. And sometimes you use it for ma'aser money. Okay. Im rov cholin. So if the majority of usages is for cholin money, now obviously you have a coin that you don't know. You went to the box and said, what's going on here? Is this cholin money or is this ma'aser money? You don't know where you're holding. So the Gemara says, yeah, you follow rov. If rov is cholin. Im rov ma'aser, ma'aser. If the rov of the usage is for ma'aser, you go after ma'aser, to give us all the damai. Lizil batar batra. Go after what the last usage was. Which means, Where are you holding? Is it the Maaser season? If it's the Maaser season, then the last thing you use the box for is Maaser. You cleaned it out already from the Hulin. So assume now, whatever you find out, the last item that was in the box was what? Maaser? Assume it's Maaser. Where's the Rav coming into play? Go Batar, Batra. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzhak, three answers we're going to get here. Hakka b'ma'askinan, kegot shenishtamshu ba ma'ot cholin ma'ot ma'aser, ve'en yodaya eze mehen besof. He lost track. Okay, he lost track. No, he didn't put it together. He used it for cholin, and then he used it for ma'aser, and then he uses it for cholin again, and then he uses it for ma'aser, but he just doesn't know what the last one was. He forgets. The Hajmon, where am I holding? Was the last item in here Holin? Or was the last item in here Maaser? Oh, so you can't go Batra Batra. The guy doesn't know what Batra was. He knew what the last item was. Then you have to follow. Rof. Second answer. Razvid Amar. Kegon shenishtamshu ba Tziburin, Tziburin. So what does Tziburin, Tziburin mean? So you have it together in the box. And you have piles. In the same box, you have a pile of Maaser money. And you have a pile of cholin money. Okay? So now what happened? You have a coin over here, and you don't know where this coin comes from. So that she says, Shil ma'asir b'zavidzu v'shil cholin b'zavidzu u'b'yom echad. Which is, there's nothing to do with batra. You're using the teba simultaneously for both. So you don't know which pile did this coin come from. Did it come from the ma'asir pile, or did it come from the cholin pile? So the cake is not batra over here. It's everything you've been using simultaneously every day. So what do you have to follow? Rav, last answer. Rapapa Amar, kegon de ishtakah biguma. Which is really, I'll tell you like this. You use the box separately. Cholin, you clean it out, you put your maaser. You know what the last item was. You know for a fact the last usage in this box was maaser. Huh? Batra batra. Assume that what? This is maaser money. No. Where did you find the coin? You found the coin in a, literally a guma, a hole in the box. You have a regular box. It seems there was a little crevice in the box. All of a sudden when you were looking in the box one day, oh look at this, there's a coin in the crevice. Now you have no idea, since it's in the crevice, you don't know it's from the last round, the round before. You don't know if it's from the Maaser, is it from the Holy, because it's in the crevice. You missed it. It was hidden from you. And therefore you cannot use the principle of Batra. You can only use the principle of Batra as what? On the regular Teva. You cleaned it out. So you have to assume what? Now it's all Maaser in there. The coin that I found now in the box, well, since the last item in there was Maaser, it came from the last round. Therefore it's Maaser. Here, you didn't find it in the box per se. You found it in a crevice in the box. When you find it in a crevice in the box, it could have been there for 2 years. And now it's surfaced. You have no idea what it's from. So therefore, the Gemara says you have to follow. So basically, you have three answers. How to answer why in the case of the Teba with the Cholin and Maaser money, you don't go after Batra. Comes the Gemara and continues. Amar Rav Yehuda. Habodek Sarik Shibarech. When a person makes bidika, so he has to make a beracha. So the Gemara says, "My bibarech." What's the beracha? Rappape amar meshem derava. Guys, there's different girsahot over here, but we'll just keep our girsah. Leba'ir hametz. Okay, the beracha is Asher Kedeshanu Zav Sivanu leba'ir hametz, to burn the hametz. Rappapa amar meshem derava al biur hametz. Okay, the Rif switches the girsah, but basically that's the machlok. Do you say leba'ir or al biur? So the Gemara is not going to explain what the machloket is. Bilba'ir kula amala peligi divadai lehaba mashma. Everybody agrees the word leva'ir is to burn. La'atid. It's future. And therefore, everybody would agree if a person said leva'ir, it's proper. Because you didn't burn it yet. You're making the beracha leva'ir, right? And then you are going to get rid of the chametz. And therefore, it follows the principle that we're going to learn today by Hilchot Berachot that says, you must make the beracha over la'asiyatan. You must make the beracha before you fulfill the mitzvah. So therefore, I'm saying, leva'er, to burn it, and therefore, then you go and get rid of it. However, ki peligi, what the machloket over here is, be'al bi'ur. The terminology al bi'ur. Mor sabar mi'ikara mashma. One rabbi says, no. Al bi'ur is mashma also past tense. Mi'ikara. And therefore, if you're going to say al bi'ur, it's going to sound as if what? You burnt it already. You didn't burn it already. You didn't do anything. Umor sabar lehaba mashma. And the other rabbi says, no, even al implies future. Rashi, mi'ikara mashma, al bi'ur shebi'arti. Right? Regarding the bi'ud that I did already, that she says, "Vare adayin lo badik." He didn't even make the bedikah yet. The abiracha couldn't bedikau. Who bi'ud haynu nami bedikau, which means the bedikah is part of the bi'ud. So we can make al bi'ud for the bedikah because that's the beginning of the process. So you're going to come and start off al bi'ud hametz regarding the hametz that I already burnt and got rid of. What are you talking about? He didn't start the bedikah yet. So therefore, according to that opinion, you have to say what? You can't use al. Because that's a past tense. Now, according to the other opinion, there's no, Abiyur also means future. Now, Tosfot points out, it's a very point, Tosfot, top line, Pirush Tabirutam, L'sha'abar mashma tefeh melehaba. Which is even the opinion that holds, it's mashma past tense, he just holds, it's mashma more past tense than future. But it's also mashma the future. Leva'er is no question is future. The machloket is in al. What is it more mashma? Which means everybody will agree. Also, is it mashma future? Yeah, you can get away with the future. The question is, what is the common usage of al? So one rabbi will tell you it means future. Oh, it means future. You're okay. Al biur hametz and go do it. Another rabbi says no, it's more mashma past tense. Okay, so that's the machloket. The mashmaut of the word al. So now the Gemara is going to ask some questions. Baruch Asher Kedeshanu B'Mesotav Sivanu Ala Mila. Oh, very good. And Mohel, he comes and circumcises a child. What does he say? Ala Mila. So Ala Mila, he didn't do it yet, right? So therefore Al must mean future. So you see it, that means future. So the Gemara says, Hatam Hechi Nema. What do you want the Mohel to say? What's the other option? Nema Lamul. You wanted to say lamul, meaning to do a circumcision lamul. Well, yeah, why not? The Gemara says no, you can't do that. Lo sagya de lav iu mahil, which means it's not his obligation. Which means lamul is mashma. There's a mitzvah shekedeshanu b'mitzvotav v'sivanu lamul. God commanded the mohel to do the brit milah. No, the mitzvah is on the father. So therefore. You're right. Really, I'll tell you the proper terminology for future is what? Lamul. But when you could say it. In this case over here, even the rabbi that says ala mila is more mashma past tense, in this case we have no choice. He'll say, okay, you can use ala mila, because again, even he agrees ala mila can mean future. We'd rather use lamul. But you know what? If you can't, like in the case of a mohel, he can't say lamul because the obligation is not on him. He'll say use al. So the Gemara says, okay, good. What about the father himself? Abiya ben ma'ika lememar. What about the father himself? He's doing the brit milah. Are you telling me that he'll say lamul? Gemara says, yeah, inachinameh. Yes, he will say lamul. So according to this, there'll be a difference between the father and the mohel. Comes the Gemara and says, metibe. Another question. Gemara says. Baruch Asher Kedeshanu B'Mitzvotav V'Sivanu Ala Shechita. Well, here you go again. Shochet comes along, he's making Shechita. Ala Shechita. If you tell me Ala Shechita is past tense, what do you mean? He didn't make the Shechita yet. How can he say Ala Shechita? So the Gemara says, Hatam Nameh Echi Nema. Well, what do you want the guy to say? So the Gemara says, Nema L'Shchot? What do you want that? That's the guy say, Asher Kedeshanu B'Sivanu L'Shchot. Lo Seged Elav Iyu Shechat. There's no obligation for him to be shohet. When a guy kills a regular animal, what is the mitzvah? Hayuf to make shaita, no hayuf to make shaita. So you can't say lishchot as if God commanded you to slaughter this animal. No hayuf to. Don't eat. There's no hayuf to slaughter this animal. So therefore, the Gemara is answering the same answer. When you have no option, because you can't say lishchot because it's mashma that you're commanded, so therefore you could say ala shaita. So the Gemara says, yeah, but what about Pesach v'kadashim ha'ikale memar? What about korbanot, like Pesach? where there's a chiyuv to make shechita. So the Gemara said, you're right, in a chenameh. You'll make lishchot. Lishchot, the Ashik Zav says, varu, lishchot at the korban. However, the barakah is going to be, but you'll say lishchot. Good. Gemara says, metibe. Gemara has a question. Ha'ose lulav le'atzmo. Okay? A guy, Erev Sukkot, he's setting up his lulav. Meaning he's playing the hadassim, the arabot, etc. He's tying it. So there was a time where they used to set up the lulav to prepare it for the mitzvah. They would make a berakah shehayanu. That's what they would make the shehayanu. Not on the first day of the holiday when they would shake it, but they would prepare it. So it says, ha'ose lulav la'atzmo. The guy prepares the lulav. Mevarech shehayanu v'kimanu v'yanu la'zaman hazeh. Okay, that's what he makes the shehayanu. It's like when the halakha says when a person buys a new garment. According to the halakha, you make the shehayanu when? Not when you wear it. According to Shulchan Aruch, at least you make it when you purchase it. We don't follow that, it's not a minhag. But you see there was a concept to make the shehayanu even before the time of actual using it. In any event, netalo latzepo, oh, now the first day of the holiday comes. He takes the lulav, picks it up, and the etrog, in order to be yotzeh. Omer, what does he say? Asher k'deshanu tavisevanu al netilat lulav. So what do you see over here? Al netilat lulav must be future. No future. You didn't fulfill the mitzvah. You pick it up the lulav. So he's saying al netilat lulav. Al is future. So that's an ayat to the al. So give us a no. Shani hatam. Tebi'idna de'agbeha nafakbe. When he picked up the lulav already, the first moment he picks it up, he's yotzei already the mitzvah. So therefore, technically, the beracha is good. Al, because you fulfilled the mitzvah already. So the Gemara says, Tosfot, for a second, bi'idna de'agbein nafakbe, what's the mitzvah of shaking the lulav? Netila. I picked up the lulav already. You picked up, you were yotzei. Tosfot says, v'im tomar, kivan de'nafak, ki'ach yibarech. So as you're making a beracha, even al. You did the mitzvah already. V'alu tzarik lebarech oven al-siyato. V'omer ri, afalgav denafak akati osik b'mitzvah shesrik lena'neya b'kriyat halil. You still have some more mitzvah to do with it. And that is, you can make a beracha, but you can say al. Because bottom line, you fulfilled the mitzvah already. You did a mitzvah already by picking it up. Yeah. So the Gemara says, hold it. Ihache latzet bo yatsa bo mev'ayle. If you look at the Lashon of the Braita, that says, netalo latzet bo. If you picked up the lulav to fulfill the mitzvah, what do you mean to fulfill? To fulfill the future. According to the way we're learning now, it should say, netalo yatzaba. You picked it up already, you were yotzei already. So the Gemara says, inechinameh. You're right, the Braita could have said, yatza. Umishum dekabe'ele mitasefa leshe basukah, since we want to give the next case of the Braita, talks about somebody that's going to sit in the sukkah. Tana Lesha, I mean, let's sit bo. Or what's the case of the Lesheba Sukkah? Diktani Sefa, we have the end of the Blaita. Ha'ose Sukkah la'atzmo. A guy builds a Sukkah. Omer, Baruch Atah Hashem, Shehayanu v'kimanu v'gihanu la'zeman hazeh. So in the old days, they used to make the Shehayanu at the time of the construction of the Sukkah. Nichnas Lesheba, okay, first night of the holiday, he goes into Sitte, Omer. Baruch Hashem k'deshanu tavisevanu Leshev Basukkah. So you see, according to this version over here, since you're going to fulfill the mitzvah, you didn't fulfill the mitzvah, so you therefore you say Leshev. So that's a proof also for the opinion that says you say Leshev. According to the other opinions, you say what? Al Yeshivat Sukkah. Aisha also means future. So the Gemara says, what's the bottom line? Gemara says Tilcheta Al Biur Hametz. And the question is, the Shurim is, Ravad is, why do you have to say al bi'ur? You're putting yourself now in a machloket. Just say leva'ir. According to everybody, you're okay. Why put yourself in a dilemma where, according to one rabbi, it's a future, and according to another rabbi, it's questionable? So the Ravad quotes a principle from a second berachot that we learned. Mibirchotav shel adam nikar imhu tamid chacham imlav. The way a person makes a beracha, you're able to tell if he's a tamid chacham or not. Meaning, when you make a berachot, you're supposed to use the beracha that shows that you're smart, you're knowledgeable. Any amaharis can say the vayir. Everybody knows. Which is, when a guy comes and says al bi'ur, that already is showing that what even al is mashma la'atid. So therefore, you make the beracha like a like a Tamid Hakam. In truth, the Rishonim all over here in this sugya go through every beracha to try to figure out why is this le and why is this al. For example, according to this, le'aniyat tefillin. What do you mean? Le'hit atef is the seat. What do you mean? We should say al. Al hatifat talet, al hanachat tefillin, lehadlik ner. Why we say al hadlakat? Then you shouldn't go to every beracha. I will just quote for you what the Tosafot says over here at the end of the Bura Matil Hilcheta al Biur Hametz. He says, now according to Tosafot, he says al Biur. First he says a Hiddush. He says Yachol hu lomar kin. According to Tosafot, you have an option. From now, you want to be an Al, you can say Al also. For sure you can say Lebayit. Right, so it's Machlokin amongst Rishonim, even in that. When it says Hilcheta Al, does it mean you can say Al? Or you have to say Al? Then the end of Tosfot says, V'ri lo matza ta'am lechol ha-berachot. The Ri did not find a good reason for all the berachot. Why are some al? Why are some ne? And therefore, will suffice, at least for this shiur, with that opinion. In any event, the Gemara now comes along and says, the kulahan mamiya, but everybody, however, agrees, me'ikara ba'inan de beruche. You gotta make the berachah before you do the mitzvah. That's the given. So the Gemara says, minalan. How do you know you have to make the berachah before you do the mitzvah? The Amar of Yehuda Amar Shmuel, kol ha-mitzvot, mevarech alehen over la'asiyatan. Right. All the berachot, you have to make them over la'asiyatan. Now obviously the word over means what? Before you do the action. Me'e mashma da'ay over l'shtad da'agdumehu. Stand the Gemara says, how do you know the word over means before? So that's the language, right? Over la'asiyatan, before you do it. So how do you know the word Hebrew? How do you know the word over means before? Amar of Nachman bar Yitzhak. Okay, different pasukim. Amar Kera. You have a pasuk in Shemuel. Vayarotz Achimaatz derech hakikar vayavor et hakushi. Okay, so the pasuk says Achimaatz was running. So he went, and the Kushi was running also. They were running to give Shaul news. So what happened? Vayarotz, or they were going to give the news about Shaul. So therefore, what does it say? The Kushi was running, and Achimaatz ran before him. Right, the pasuk says, "Vayavor et haKushi." Right, he passed him and he went before him. Okay, Abaye Amar Me'acha, Tehu Avar Lifnehim. Right? No. Bereshit Lamed Gimel. The pasuk says, "Tehu Avar Lifnehim." When Yaakov was meeting with Esav, so it says he went before Yaakov, before his whole camp, and he bowed to Esav. Not before. Vibarai Tema Me'acha. Another pasuk. This pasuk would be from Micha. Pasuk says, "Vayavor Malkam lifnehem." Their king went before them. Vashem Berosham. Hashem was on above them. Good. Berav Amri. The Bebedash of that, they said, "Chutz minat tebila veshofar." This rule of it that you make the beracha always before. There's two exceptions. Tebila. Person goes to the mikveh. You make the beracha after. And the blowing of shofar. So the Gemara says, "Oh, let's analyze these two. Bishlama tevila. I understand tevila. Da'akat gavra lo hazeh. The guy's not ra'ui. Now, what are we talking? What type of tevila over here? Rashi learns baal keri. I mean, the guy is baal keri. He can't make the beracha when he's baal keri. So if he has to go dip first, now he become taor. Now he can make the beracha." Tosfot says, what are you talking about, Keri? We learned the Masechet Berachot, that today we took away the Gezerah Baal Keri. Today Baal Keri can learn Torah. He's able to pray. He's able to make Berachot. So therefore he should be able to say the Beracha as well. So Tosfot says we're talking about a Ger. When a Ger goes to dip in the Tevilah for conversion, how can he say the Beracha? He's a Goy still. He doesn't become Jewish until after the Tevilah. So the Gemara says, except for a Tevilah again. You have no choice but to make the Berakah. Afterwards, why? The Gabra Lohazi. The guy himself is not Ra'ui. So the Gemara says, Ela Shofar, my Tama. But what's the logic of Shofar? So the Gemara says, V'chitim mishum dema mekalkela tiki'a. Maybe because, how could you make a Berakah? Maybe he's not going to get the tiki'a sound out. You're going to say, right, Lishma Akol Shofar, it's not going to work. So the Gemara says, what are you talking? So for that matter, you shouldn't make a beracha on shechita mila till after. Maybe the knife is not going to be good. Maybe he's not going to make the shechita. There's always a maybe. So the Gemara says, no. Ela mar chizda chutz min tevila bilvad. That's the issue over here. Except for tevila bilvad. Forget about shofar. Shofar you also make before. We're not worried about he might get. He might not be able to get the sound out. Itmar. We have chutz min tevila bilvad itmar. Period. Tanya na meache. We have a braita. Tabal. I went to dip. Bahala. And he came up. Bahaliyato omer. When he comes up, he says, Berukha Chikun Stavazav Sivanu, Ala Tevila. So therefore, you make the beracha after, and you say, Ala Tevila, because even the Ala Tevila is mashma also past tense. Right? We said, according to everybody, it's mashma both ways. So therefore, you can't make, certainly you can't make the Tvon. Because already, he dipped already. So in this case, you have no option, even according to the other opinion you have to make, on HaTevilah. Now, Tosfot does discuss Nitilat Yadayim, that we make, let's say, for bread. So he says over there, you're making the Nitilah, and then you're making the Berakah. So this Berakah is also an exception. So it's not an exception. Because you're making the Berakah before Niguv. And Niguv is still, meaning before you dry. And before you dry, it's still considered Over Lasiatan. Then the Tosfot just comes along and says, and even if you want to learn the case of the Baal Keri, you could learn it because why? How could the guy make the Berakah in the Mikveh? He's not dressed. You're not dressed. How can you make a Berakah without being dressed? So therefore, hey, your only option is go to the Mikveh. And you come out, put on your robe, and make the Berakah. The truth is, he could have answered differently. He could say, no, make the Berakah before in your robe, and then go in. And forth, his main answer is what? The Tevilah of the gift. Let's just go one more step in the Gemara. Gemara says, Le'or Anir. Mishnah said what? You have to use a candle. Tana Bedikah. Mina Nemile. Well, the Gemara asks a simple question. How do you know you have to use a Nir? Amar Rav Chisda. The Gemara is going to give us a very few stages in Dirashah here to get to Nir. We'll go one step at a time. Lamadnu Mitzi'ah Mimitzi'ah. We have a Gezerah Shava. It's going to say the word Mitzi'ah by Binyamin. Remember when they found the goblet in Binyamin's satchel?
Yeah.
So the word Mitzi'ah is going to be used there. Okay? They found it. And we know it says the word Mitzi'ah by Hametz. Right? Se'o lo yimatzeh bebatechem. So look at the linkage so far. Mitzi'ah to Mitzi'ah. U'mitzi'ah mechipus. Now, again, in that story where it says that they found the goblet, it also says the word vechapes. They searched. Well, so now already we see there's a connection between Mitziah and Hippus, which is written in the same Pasuk. Now, once already we see there's a connection between Mitziah and Hippus, which is we're linking those two words together. The Hippus, Mihippus. Now we're going to link the word Hippus to another Pasuk that mentions the word Hippus. Okay, and in that pasuk, it's going to talk about candles, the chipus menerot. And then once we have chipus in the pasuk and nerot, you got the word nerot, and link the word nerot to ner. There's another pasuk that says the word ner. Now the Gemara will explain this derasha. Watch, mitziah me mitziah ketivach. It says by us by matzah or by pesach shvat yamim solo yimatzeh. Okay, it's Mitziah. Uchtiv Atam, it says by Yosef, when he was, they found the goblet in Binyamin's satchel, V'chapes b'gadol e'chel u'bakaton killa v'imatzeh. Okay? And they found it. U'mitziah mechiputz dideh. And in the same pasuk, and it says the word Mitziah, by the satchel of Binyamin, it also says the word V'chapes, they searched. Okay? Now, once already I see Mitziah and Chippus. Now I know already the Mitziah is already linked. So I linked Mitziah to Pesach of Hametz, to Mitziah of Binyamin. And in that Pasuk it says what? Chippus. Oh, so now it's as if what? The Chippus is written also by Matzah, by Hametz. Okay? Because I'm making the linkage. Now once I have Chippus, the Chippus menerot. I have a pasuk that has the word chipus and mentions candles. Dichtiv, baleta hi achapes et Yerushalayim banerot. The prophet says, at that time, I'm going to search Jerusalem for sins with candles. And the prophet says, "But we're going to look for all the sins of Jerusalem." Now, v'nerot miner, and we know there's a pasuk that we're going to make a link now between that pasuk of nerot, which is plural, to ner. Dechtiv ner Hashem nishmat Adam chofes kol hadre batin. Rashi says, "V'nerot miner." Dichtiv b'ner yichidi, right? Ner Hashem should say nishmat Adam chofes kol lebaten ulekamam mefresh halamali. Now the Gemara is going to ask, what do you need this last pasuk? Once you got to Nerot, all right, I got the candles. So therefore, what did you got to go? And Nerot from there. I want your proof, because it says over there in the pasuk, Ner Hashem Nishmatam Chofes Kohad Rebaten. So therefore, what did you need that pasuk at all? Once you linked me to Nerot, you proved me what? Metziah, Hepus, Ner, or Nerot. Bingo, you're in. That last pasuk, the Chavra, is superfluous. Come on, I'll explain. That is the bit of Ishmael. Lele Yudal Botir Hametz Ora Ner. On the night of the 14th, you check the Hametz, the Ora Ner. Even though the Torah doesn't mention it explicitly, from the Nevi'im, we could bring the Rashon. Shreemar, Shivachem Yisrael Yimaseh, Ve'omer, Ve'chapes Begadol Echel, Ubakaton, Killa, Ve'omer, Ba'eti Yachapes Yerushalayim, Banerot, Ve'omer, Ner Hashem, Nishmat Adam, Chofes. So comes the Gemara and says, my Ve'omer, what do you need the last pasuk for? I understand everything to get me to Nerot, you need. Metziah, Hippos, Ner. But Nerot, Ner. Ner is a Ner. What's the difference? You proved me, right? That what? That you need Chametz with a Ner. What's the last pasuk? So he was Vichitem, because you maybe tell me like this. Hai ba'etahi kulahu dekamar rahmana. Maybe that pasuk, where is that pasuk incidentally? Achapes et Yerushalayim b'nerot. That is in Sifanya. Could be over there, the Torah was telling you like this, or the Navi was saying like this. God says, I'm going to do you a favor. I'm going to check Yerushalayim with nerot, with candles. Okay. What is the significance? Why is that a leniency to check Yerushalayim with candles? So the Gemara says, ba'etei kulau dekama rahmana lo badikna la birushlam bin hora da avuka. Don't worry, I'm not going to check Jerusalem with the light of a torch. Dinafish nehora tuva. Torch is very bright, and when you have very bright, you're even able to pick up all the small sins as well. What is God searching? For the sins of Jerusalem. So God says, you know what? Ela bin hora de sharga. I'm going to use the light of a candle. De zutar Neorat fet, a small light. Da'avon rabba mishtakah. It'll only find the big sins. Da'avon zutar lo mishtakah. But the small sins, it will not find. And therefore, if I only had that pasuk, I would say, really, a candle is not good for searching. You know why? That pasuk over there, yeah. You know why they used a candle? Because God did not want to find things. Because God was being lenient on the Jews at the time. And he was saying, you know what? Use a candle so we won't find the small sins. So if it was only from that pasuk, I would say, you know what? A candle would not work for midikat hametz, because it really doesn't search. Just like what? It didn't search for the small sins of Yerushalayim. So therefore I come along and say, no, I got another pasuk that says ner. And this pasuk says, ner Hashem nishmat adam chofes kol hadre batin. That a ner is able to search, call, it's able to see everything. And therefore, Tashema, ner Hashem nishmat adam. And therefore I see that last pasuk is necessary, so I won't think that the pasuk before was just a leniency, and therefore I might think ner doesn't work so good. I would say, you know what? Achapes Yerushalayim b'nerot. God say, you know what? I don't want to find anything. So you know what? Use a ner, so the small sins won't come up. At least it'll be a clemency for you. Yeah. Comes the next pasuk and says, you know what? We have another pasuk that says, ner, to teach me what? The ner is chofes kol hadre baten. Baruch adonai le'olam. Amen.